Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Teacher, in a secular world, what is the purpose of your life? To be married, to have beautiful children and grandchildren. But we're going to see in the Word of God, first and foremost, what God has for you and I, the purpose why He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Many of us, before we got saved, we did our own thing in the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And some of us were good moral people, and then there were some of us that were corrupt to the core. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Oh, yeah, and I think that's most of us in here, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I like to look at it like this. The church is a hospital. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The church is a hospital. This is where we get healed. This is where we get delivered. This is where God, hallelujah, appoints us, anoints us, and approves us. Hallelujah. This is where we get the AAA card. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And God has birthed His church 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. The ecclesia is the new birth where God poured out the Holy Ghost upon us. Can I get an amen? Do you know you cannot do anything in His kingdom without the power of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. But we're going to see something that He wants from you and I. And we need to take it to heart. And we need to take heed, because these things are important to you and I. And we're going to see how Jesus clearly tells a parable of what He expects from His people. And He wasn't talking about the unbelievers. The unbelievers, their heaven is right here on this earth. This is the farthest it gets. Can I get amen? It don't get any better than that. This is it for them. Unless they come into that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read these few verses. And then we're going to get to the parable that I need to get to. When we conclude, we're going to be praying for families, ministries. We want to hear some testimonies. I want to know what God is doing in your life. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's go to the Word of God in Matthew 5:13. And it reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light." Say that with me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15. "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen.
Amen.
So, saints of God, our lights must shine before people in such a way that they may see the work of God manifested in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Because if something has really taken place, and if you are truly born of God, filled with the Spirit of God, there will be a change. They will see a difference. Amen? Many of us won't have the same language we came into the kingdom with. Can I get amen? You remember that mouth? Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. Some of you can talk up a storm back in the day. As believers in Christ, God has instructed you and I, saints of God, to live our lives in such a way that you and I will have a lasting impression on those who do not know God. How many of you right now have family members, friends, acquaintances, people on the job, people in school that you know they are not saved? And it's not about judging. Throw that out. You know those who are anointed. You know those who are saved. Hallelujah. I like to say it best like this. When I sit next to, when I come encounter, when I see someone that is anointed by God, you will feel the presence of God. Can I get an amen? You will know. You'll see the light of God manifesting through their life. And they will not have the language of the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If there's a litmus test, it's what you say. What is spoken out of your mouth. Especially once you become saved. Can I get amen? But maybe, saints, have you noticed that many today are living secluded lives, interested only in satisfying their own needs, hungers, and desires? And this is something where God, I believe, will quicken us when we get to the parable just in one moment. You see, my friends, they walk among people day by day with no thought or interest in influencing or impacting someone's life. This is not the way that God intended us to live. Can I get amen? It's not. And it should never be. And so look at this right up here. As we live our lives for Christ, there are two kinds of impact we can have on the people around us. Purposeful or passive? Is there purpose in your life, or are you just as a Christian that walking passively? Praise the Lord. Have no desires to preach the gospel, no desires to share, no desires to go and lay hands on the sick and pray, no desire to worship, no desires to serve, no desires to see someone saved, walk by unsaved people, and don't even say a word to them. So we need to look at this. Purposeful impact is intentional. Can I get amen? If God has truly saved you, he intends for you and I to do the will of God. He expects us. Can I get an amen? But see, here's the key. The key to this, and this is where I found this early on in my life, and I've seen this in many others, is sometimes they're ashamed to talk about Jesus when they're around people, family members, friends, especially knowing that they're caught up in some grievous sins. And we don't want to say nothing. We don't want to dig them out of that hole. But the book of Titus that I went over, it says that we are to pull them out of the fire. Can I get amen? Because there's nothing else after this world to an unbeliever but death, hell, and the grave. And so, we need to be like Paul. Paul said it best, right up here in Romans. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." How many of you are believers? So this is for us, that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. Can I get amen? For the Jew first, and then also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And you have to have it in your mindset and in your heart that we have been justified by God, just as if we never sin now because of the blood of Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So one of the things that we're called to do, it's found in 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to go to the serious parable that Jesus spoke about. And then we'll conclude. I won't be here long, I said. Right here, found in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Now look, here's one of the key things. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Say that with me. God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives what?
Increase.
The increase. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this right up here in verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Praise God. Look at that. For we are God's fellow workers. Say that with me. We are God's fellow workers. And you are God's field. And you are God's building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We're his temple. Praise God. And so, whether it's to help them understand the truth of the scripture that God has called us to do, to help them grow in the relationship with Christ, or help them live their lives in obedience unto God. Your life should be a reflection that they can say, hey, I can praise God like you. I could walk like you. I could speak like you. We need to be that example for them. Can I get amen? They need to see Christ, the hope of glory, inside of us. Can I get amen? And they're never going to see that if we do not portray that with the real deal. We could do it in our natural self for a while. But can you walk in the power and the anointing of God every day? Praise God. So I want you to see this right here. Purposeful impact is planned, intentionally lived out relationally, and is an example of good before others. Can I get an amen? But then we look at this. Passive impact is inactive or indifference. So this is where we need to get to now. This is where Jesus, how many believe that the red writing in your Bible were the words spoken by Jesus? Amen. I love the writings of Paul. I love the writings of the apostles. I love the Old Testament prophets and saints and those who came before us. But when Jesus speaks, he speaks truth and he speaks power. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He speaks power and he's speaking to us right now. So I need you to really take heed right now to this parable, and it's found in Matthew 25. We're going to go there right now. And it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Okay, let me pause right there. This is Jesus talking about himself. Remember, he says, "I go away and prepare a place for you, that when I come back, I will come back and receive you." So he's painting a picture that he's going on a far journey. He's going to travel. But he left his servants with talents, with things that we are obligated now to adhere to. Let's move on with this story. Look at this. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. In other words, Jesus came back. Look at this, in verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler." I need you to catch this. "Make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Wow. In other words, God was pleased with that servant. And that servant was all about the work of God. Because Jesus left and gave those servants a responsibility. And now God is coming And he is expecting something from our lives. Let's move on with this story. Verse 22. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. How many want to hear that spoken to you when Jesus comes? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I believe every one of us wants to hear that from Jesus, right? But then the plot thickens here. The story then shifts. There is a shift in these next few verses. Verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew to be a hard man. I need to ask this question. Is Jesus hard? Is the ministry hard? Is serving God hard? Because if serving God is a task, you missed it. Serving God is a privilege. Serving God is an honor. Serving God is being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Serving God is saying, God, you found me in the gutter. Serving God is saying, God, I was about to lose my life, and you came and you saved me. You saved me from a pit of hell. But there's some that do not take heed to what God is saying to our lives. And so look at this. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent to the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So this servant is saying, you know what? Yeah, you gave me instruction. You put people around my life. You put me in a church. You put me on in ministry. But that's the furthest it went. And I was afraid. I was afraid to share the gospel with someone because I was afraid of what they may say to me. What their face may look like when I say, you need to repent. God loves you. Don't stay in that sin. He was afraid. This servant was afraid. God called this servant, and he hid everything. When's the last time you spoke to Jesus about somebody, to someone? When's the last time you brought him to the cross? When's the last time you brought him to be saved? And say, oh, God, listen, Jesus is coming back. There should be an urgency. We should be quickened. There should be a step and pep in our walk. Look how Jesus answers this one. He's not talking to an unbeliever. He's not talking to an unbeliever. He's talking to his servants. Look at verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. We just heard Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But here, Jesus is speaking this. He answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. God is looking for dividends. He's looking to see, what have you done for me lately? Can I get an amen? Wow. There's people that don't care. They're just living day by day, flipping channels, waiting for that next meal, and someone next door to you is perishing. Look at this. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. In other words, the one has been sowing and praising God is not looking for accolades. They're not looking to be seen by men or women. They don't care about being on the top. They're just sowing and plowing. God said, take that one from him and give it to the one who loves me, who is working for me, where I don't have to remind them of their obligation. I know this is tough, but you know what? God's saying this is a new year, and he may come back this year. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given. Look at this. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. What? Oh yeah, we know that God's a giver. But right here, he's saying, I will take it away and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. What? Listen, I'm glad Jesus said this, because if I was saying this without any word up here, I would see the bag of tomatoes coming. I would be seeing somebody, they ain't in the word. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What? What? My goodness. If a story like this does not inspire one that's been called out, there's nothing left. There's nothing left to be said. There's nothing left to be done. Can I get amen? Because Jesus spoke it all right here. Now, it goes on to say, from 31 through 46, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. In the entire world, and I'm talking about the church world, Jesus said there will be wheat and tares in the house of God. Wheat and tares. In other words, there's someone next to you that's saying, praise the Lord, and don't even know God. But at that day, he's going to gather everyone and divide the sheep from the goats. Who are the goats? The name tag Christians. The wannabe brother and sister. The one that never been born again. The one that was just there religiously. Maybe they grew up in the church. Maybe they were invited and kept coming for a while. Don't know that. But the sheep are those who have been born from above, been filled with the Spirit of God, washed in the blood. You know what I'm so thankful for? That God is going to do the separation, because us down here, we will separate everyone and leave me by myself standing. Thinking everyone else is not saved. Help me, Jesus. Can I get amen? God is going to do the separation. Because the Bible says he knows who are his. He says, if you hear my voice, my sheep follow me. And they know me and I know them. Hallelujah. It's clear when you know God. It's clear when you've been born from him. It's clear when he speaks to your spirit. It's clear when his presence comes, hallelujah, and you're basking in his glory. It's clear. But Jesus is saying something else here. Yes, There are many wonderful things that he does for us, and it's endless. But he's speaking about a serious matter here that's in the church. Wow. And so, look at this. In verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can I get amen? No, that's right. And we are blessed. Say this with me. I am blessed. Come on, say it like you mean it. I am blessed. Praise God. And only God could do that in our life. Can I get amen? Look at this. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, oh, here we go. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. So now, Jesus is breaking it down for us. He's breaking it down. Now look at this, in verse 36. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? That's an honest question. That was honest. They weren't trying to trap him like the Pharisees, but they needed to know. And this is why Jesus gave the answer. Look at this in verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. When's the last time you ministered to a soul in a hospital? When's the last time you came by and comforted someone that was grieving? Maybe lost someone. When's the last time you went and fed the homeless? I saw a beautiful thing last weekend. I seen this worship team with another ministry feeding over 400 people. When's the last time you inquired of what I can do for the kingdom of God? Or are you walking around with just one talent? Look at this. I was naked. No, and the king said, I will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed. What? Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus said, I have loved you from the foundation of the world. But look what he's saying here. This is Jesus. And these are the things that a lot of fellowships will not talk about because they just want to just give you some la la da 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 da. They'll leapfrog over this and won't inspire the congregation to move forward with him. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What? This is his servant. These are the ones that have been separated by the angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. What? I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Look at this. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and did not minister to you? Look at verse 45. Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Wow, that's cut and dry. Can I get an amen? That's cut and dry. So here's the key element for the saints of God. And I heard it said best right up here by our own sister. Everything is done through prayer. Pray. Say, God, I want to be used in 2023, God. I don't want to be like that one that only has one talent, God. I want to do something for you this year, God. Quicken me, God. Strengthen me, God. Help me get past myself. A lot of times it's self. I know this ain't popular, but guess what? I'm preaching to me too. I have to continue. I don't know how many times in 16 years I've thought about throwing in the towel. I'm done. And God reminds me, oh, so you want to be the one with the one talent. God has to put me, he has to put me in check. I don't know how he puts you in check. But he puts me in check all the time. And there's some things that will just attach on you. Thought that you were done with that. And the devil comes and reminds you, you know what? You're still in this body of flesh. I'm still going to tempt you. I'm still going to cause havoc in your life. This is why Jesus said, in our life we'll have tribulations. Listen, I look at this whole Christianity as a giant test. It's a giant test. And guess what? I want to pass this test. How many want to pass that test? Well, there's simple things that God has equipped us. And one of the most powerful things is prayer. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praying. Praying. When's the last time you fell on your face before God and prayed in the Holy Ghost? Prayed until something happens.
Amen.
Pray until a change comes. You see, when you find yourself in that one talent category, the presence of God backs off and you're on your own. You're just a name tag Christian. Oh, yes, right. And we think we're going to make it in through our past laurels. I'm reminded is that we need to live for this day. Today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not even here. How many believe? Tomorrow's not even here. Today. Praise God for some of you that are so blessed. Gave Sister Yolanda and I some gift cards. And so we went to Ruth Chris last night. And one of the guys that came to pick up, you know, the food that we didn't eat, Yolanda goes, look at his name tag. So he came back. I said, oh, have you read the book of Isaiah? Because his name was Isaiah. So we just started ministering to him. You see, God will always give you supernatural divine appointments. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many of you can honestly say that the majority of your saved life now, God has given you divine appointments?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's the grace of God, the love of God, because those who have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 talents, I'm looking at like this, it's a heart matter. These are the ones that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. They want to make an impact in this world. They want them to know about Jesus. So with that, with those talents he's given us, then he is the one that creates the divine appointment.
Yes, he does.
You know why? Because he knows that you're not ashamed of him. He knows that you will speak the word. He knows that you will pray. He knows that you will lift up. He knows that you will edify and teach. He knows, hallelujah, that you will love those that are in deep darkness and love them to the cross. He knows that you're not going to bash them with your tongue and your life ain't right. That's called hypocrisy. And Jesus dealt harshly with the hypocrites of his day. He called the Pharisees, the religious folks, whitewashed tombs. And he told them, and Jesus said that, he told them, your father is the devil. My, my, my. But how many are so blessed that we have a new father? We've been grafted in. We've been adopted. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know what God showed me? He showed me this revelation that when parents that cannot have kids, they go into an adoption agency and they thoroughly check to see that the one they want to care for and bless this child. The natural doesn't know what they're getting. They don't see anything coming other than when the baby comes, you do your best to nurture it. Can I get amen? But the ones that you can honestly see and then graft into your family is no different than how God saw us and knew us before he saved us. Can I get amen? And then we are grafted in by faith.
Yes, we are.
And now he watches over us. He provides for us. He keeps the enemy away when the enemy wants to come like a flood. How many of you have been bombarded by the enemy? And many of you have called on Jesus at that moment. Can I get amen? But let me just say this. He may not have showed up right when you called him, but he was always right on time. There are going to be times where you're going to go through and you're going to think that God has abandoned you. But I'm here to let you know he's never left us nor forsaken us. Because we are the remnant church. And it's just amazing grace. I'm talking about there are wonderful ministries that are around this same town, the same county, the same state, in this nation and around the world that truly love God. I was given a word on Friday to put on the new wineskin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm very thankful for obedient men and women that will speak into your life. The unction from God. Because that's what we need. We need people to speak into our life to build us up, not to tear us down. It's easy to tear down something. But can you build it up? Can you love that unlovable one? Now, you can love them and pray for them and know that you're a light for them, but they cannot hold on to your curtail, and you cannot take them into kingdom with you. They need Jesus for themselves. Can I get amen? It's a one-on-one relationship with the Lord. Be the light for them. But don't think just because they know that you love them and that God loves them, don't think for one moment that they're in like you are. You will know when they get in, because they will be sitting right next to you praising God, and their whole life has totally changed from the inside out. Can I get amen? You will know. You will know, and you will rejoice forevermore. But don't stop praying for them. Don't start praying for your church. Don't stop praying for yourself. Can I get an amen? You see, this is what we need. Through speaking with and encouraging others, we need to encourage each other. Can I get an amen? And it's done through the fellowship of the church. You know, I was thinking of taking off the live stream, because I've spoken to at least four other pastors, and one of the troubles that they're having is they're watching it at home and not coming and having fellowship with one another anymore. They got comfortable after COVID. They have forsaken the fellowship with one another. So pray for me that I may take this off, and then we'll see who the real remnant is. Can I get amen? Because this wasn't here before COVID. But see, this is what the enemy did. He dropped the bomb. See, the enemy dropped the bomb, and he scattered the sheep, didn't he? I don't want to go and get COVID again. Come on, I had it a couple times already. That's like saying, I'm never going to catch a cold. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. This is a time to pray. This is a time. Hey, before we pray and lay hands on each other, anyone here has a testimony they want to share? Come on, Brother Angel. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Are we awake? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So I want to share something that took place on December 17th. How many of you were here on our Christmas
service?
Christmas service, right? Yes, many of us, right? So that morning I was here. We're all helping out, preparing for the service. You know, doing tables and chairs and getting everything ready. And finally, we're all done. I get home, man. I'm just like exhausted a little bit, but I'm ready to come back. So how many believe that your ministry starts at home? Amen. Right? Okay. So I get a call at my home. I'm just resting because I'm coming back for a Christmas service. So just remember what I said. Your ministry starts at home. I get a call that my brother was in the hospital. And he was ill, not doing well at all. And he had He has some issues going on with him. OPCD, and he was just not doing well. My brother was in and out of prison many, many years. That was, it's terrible to see him live like that, you know. But again, he's my brother. And it was hard to see him that way, in and out all his life, just living a hard life. But no one's perfect. None of us are perfect. So I get a call. I say, your brother's in the hospital, and he's not doing well. I says, oh, my gosh. What am I going to do here? I committed here. I have to be back at a certain time so I can get ready for the service, Christmas service. And my wife looks at me. She says, honey, you need to go. So I said, I need to be there. So fast forward with that, I spoke with pastor, and his pastor, this was going on. I need to be there. So the pastor, they found a substitute for me over here. I know I had to be there because that was a divine appointment. You mentioned that. Listen to me carefully. This was a divine appointment. So I did. I went and I spent some time with my brother. My cousin was there. There's five boys in the family. And I don't want to take too much time, Pastor, but I need to share this. So here, he's not doing well, and he's having trouble breathing. He's got oxygen going on, and I'm with my cousin. I'm at the hospital. My cousin is also a believer, and my brother is also a believer. So we have believers in the room. It was hard to see him like that, but let me tell you something. God was there. I spoke with him. I said, listen to me, brother. I want to tell you something. We're going to pray for you. And that's why I went there, to love my brother and to pray for him. So what are we doing if we're not ministering to our people, our family members at home? What are we really doing? What are we here for? So what my brother was, he was having a hard time to breathe. He was hard time to breathe. He couldn't catch his air. He got oxygen going on. I says, come around here, my cousin and my brother, just put your hands around him. Just lay your hands right here. I touched him, and the power of God, I touched him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I just touched his chest, and he was like, I pray for peace, calmness. In Jesus' name, I was speaking to his breathing. And finally, it settled. It was calm. They witnesses. Okay, brother, listen to what I have to say here. Then I was able to lead him to the Lord. Okay? He received God's grace, mercy, forgiveness. It was so hard, but that's what I needed to do. That's why I needed to be there. When I saw my brother, when I laid my brother to rest, you could see the peace of God all over him. There was no pain and suffering. He looked 20 years younger. Right, honey? He looked just amazing. You could see God all over him. So I say this, and I leave you with this, because you have many family members that are not saved. But I needed to be there to love him, but also to have God save him. God is merciful, God is loving, God is kind, God is love. And so I know he's in a better place because he doesn't have to suffer no more. But to meet a witness to him, and he received the Lord as his personal Savior, that's all I needed. It's painful, but I know what I saw. Okay, so that's my testimony. So remember, your ministry starts at home.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Brother Lafayette, come on up. Yes. Is he going to testify what God has done in his life? Because it has to be all about the Lord today. Okay. Amen. This is a wonderful friend to the family of Lafayette and Jessica, a good friend to Brother Jordan, and speak into the mic.
First of all, I want to give God all the glory and praise, and just thank him, man. I'm just loving on all you guys, because you are our family. You know, we've been here, oh my God, 17 years, and we give God all the glory and praise, because without you guys, I don't know how we would made it, you know, from raising our kids to getting our home, and we just give all the glory, God all the glory and praise. I have a quick little testimony about me. You guys don't know me, unfortunately. I've had a rough two and a half years, but thank to God I'm still here. Amen. I caught the COVID back in, what was it, 2020? And my lungs collapsed on me. And my kids had to basically carry me to the hospital. But that's not the bad thing. I was in the hospital for about a week, and I was still struggling to breathe. I was undiagnosed with my lungs collapsed. Unbelievable. And they were trying to discharge me. And my wife was like, no, you're not going to leave the hospital. Well, basically, I almost died. And without Pastor Fee, you guys praying for me, and my mother praying for me, and my wife praying for me, I don't know. But to make a long story short, they fixed me up. I was off work for about a year. I'm still having pulmonary issues to this day. But the clogs continue into my heart. And November 2nd, I had a major heart attack. They told me that my lungs were 90% clogged, all four of my valves. So I don't know. So by the grace of God, I'm still standing. Amen. So I went in and I had quadruple bypass. Yep. So I got the zipper right now. But I just appreciate all the prayers and all the love that me and my family have been receiving. Because without you guys, I don't know. Because what happened to Pastor Cephas, if you guys don't know, he passed away a couple of months ago. I was right on track, but I'm still here, and God definitely has a purpose for me. And as I said earlier, I give all the glory to God, and I love you guys, and you guys are truly my family. That's right. Thank you.
I remember the day, I think it was 2 days after your surgery, we came. And I was the first one to see him walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We prayed, and so they were preparing you, and he got up and he walked. Praise God. Praise God. God is good, isn't he? Listen, we got one more. If you're not going to come forth, then I'm going to share mine real quick. Okay. You have a testimony, sister?
No, the one behind you. Come on, sister. We got a new nickname for her that came from Brother Andre. Sister Katarina. And she's also cousin to my favorite quarterback, Tom Brady. Well, this is Catherine Brady.
I did not know he was going to call me up. So I did want to share something, though, probably not. There's a lot of testimonies I have. One specifically, though, was just recently. We were doing women's Bible study, and it was one of the questions that was asked at the last day was, you know, how we listen to the voice of God and how we receive, like, the blessings for being obedient and listening to him. One of the days of the Bible study, it asked, you know, what is God saying that we're not wanting to listen to, what we're not wanting to do? And I just felt like the weight of his conviction on me of the offering and tithing, because I was giving money before and I was, you know, doing it, but I was doing it in a way that I was making sure that the house was okay, the rent was good, the bills were paid, my son was taken care of, but I wasn't putting the tithing first. I wasn't making that a priority. And so I felt the conviction, and it was such a caring conviction of just, I got you. You don't have to worry about it. I'm a single mom. I've been a single mom. I had my son when I was 15 years old. So being the provider for my son has always been a big weight for me, that I felt like I need to have this money. I need to be able to provide for my son. He only has me. And so having God tell me, you know, I'll take care of you, I just sat there and cried at the desk, and I redid all my finances and put church right there, right under rent, you know, right at the top. And when we were asked in the women's Bible study, you know, how did you receive the blessings from doing that? I didn't know yet. I hadn't checked it. That night, I looked at my account, and I had gotten double the bonus from work, which was a huge, huge amount. It was like a month's salary. And then I was like, praise God, you know, he did that. He gave me that. Just that first week of just, you know, truly tithing and trusting in him, he gave me the finances that I needed. And then I went to go pay my bills, and I had a $2,000 credit from SDSU for my son's school. So it's all God.
In just a moment, we're going to ask the ministry to come up, because we're going to pray for our ministry. Amen. But I shared something, and God just quickened me when I was sitting there. I need to share this, because how many believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you? How many believe that when you are in a pickle in life, that God will come and rescue you? God had to show me in the early days of walking with God on how he can deliver you in an instant when you really need him. I'm going to go back 34 years, I was a babe in Christ. I attended North Park Apostolic Church. And God had given me a new van, and all I wanted to do was pick up souls and bring them in. And Brother Ark could attest that I wanted to see them get baptized and get filled with the Holy Ghost and watch their lives change. I would always be right there by that pool, and I would say, God, whatever you're going to splash in them, splash it on me again afresh. I was like, that's all I was consumed about, was bringing someone to Christ. And so that van needed some washing, and I went down to All American Car Wash there in National City. How many know where Euclid and Plaza Boulevard. Yeah. So I brought my van there, and I ran across a good friend of our family who actually grew up with my older brother, G. His name was Louis Davis. We call him Lou. I go, Lou, what's up, man? I go, you work here? He goes, yeah, I'm working here for right now. I go, so what are you doing in life right now? I haven't seen you in years. He goes, well, I'm just working here. I go, how's Wendy and the kids? Oh, they're at home right now. I said, are you guys going to church? He goes, no. I go, I want to invite you to the church I'm attending. And I believe God wants to do something really mighty in your life. He goes, well, we haven't been to church in a while. I go, where do you live? He gave me his address. I said, I'm going to come pick you up. I'm going to come pick you up tonight. Because Friday night was youth night, and they had testimonial service as well. We used to love Friday nights and Sunday nights, right, brother? You either came up and sang a song or you testified. Amen? And there was always someone testifying. And so I said, I'll come pick you up in my van. I go, look, God blessed me with the new van. And you know what it's for? He goes, I go, to bring people like you to church. So he gave his address. So I remember it was the clock had just, the time change took place. And it got dark at 5. So service was always at 7. So I went to go pick him up at 6. So I'm driving down. I need you guys to picture, a lot of you grew up in Nasty City. National City. If you drive down Plaza Boulevard going west, you will run through Highland, and then you'll see, I believe that is, there's a little elementary school, John Otis. There you go. And then on the left, there's a street that was called D Street. Okay? D Street. So I made a left turn, and I was looking for the address, and finally, I saw the duplex or the apartment, and I pulled over. I go, here he is. He's right here. So I pulled over. I looked to my left, and there was about 60 homeboys out there. They were all choloed up. And I opened up my car door, and as soon as I opened the door, about 5 or 6 of them started blurting out, "Orale ese, where you from ese?" And I said, I'm just here picking up my friend. We're going to church. This is our barrio ese. No one comes into our barrio ese. And I said, listen, no trouble, man. I just wanna pick up my friend. I closed the door. And I literally ran to Lewis's front door. Lou, open up the door, Lou. He opened up. He goes, I really didn't think you were coming. I said, who are these guys? Let me in. He goes, they're the insane boys from National City. Insane boys? Whoa. So I went inside. I go, listen, I came to pick you all up. Are you guys coming to church? No, Wendy's in the room. The kids are not ready to go. I go, well, then you come, Lou. He goes, no, I'm going to stay here. I go, Lou, I came here to pick you all up. And then when I looked out the window, there were about 11 of them leaning on my van already. I said, Lou, let me use your phone, man. I need to call the cops so that I can get out of here. He goes, Fee, we don't have a phone. And back then, if you had a cell phone, it was about this big with an antenna. Something out of G.I. Joe. I go, Lou, man, walk with me out there. He goes, Fee, when it gets dark and they're out there, we don't walk outside there. I go, but man, I got to get back to church, man. I go, come on, Lou, walk with me out. He goes, sorry, Fee, we don't come out there. I said, I got to go. So I walked out. I gave him a hug. I started walking out. As soon as I walked up to my van, three of them circled me. And homeboy that was buttoned up, the bottom was open, and you could see his silver gun. And he goes, hold on there, fat boy, where you from? I said, you know what? I just want to get in my van and go back to church. And I heard the voice of God right at that moment. Because I'm telling you, I would have been another statistic. Someone got stabbed and shot in National City. And I heard God speak to me clearly. Yell out my name. It was deep in here. And then it became audio in my ears. Yell out my name. And so from the depths of my soul, I yelled out, Jesus! With a loud voice. And as soon as I yelled out Jesus, the one that was in front of me and the other two that were beside him, they all turned sideways. And I walked right by them. I walked right by them. I got into my van and I was gone. Hallelujah. I came to church that night and I testified what happened. Man, I'm telling you, that night the organ got crazy and people were running the pews. It turns out that that same gang killed my nephew at Plaza Bonita Mall. Shot him in the back 5 times. The only murder that ever took place at Plaza Bonita Mall. And I was in the midst of darkness. But Jesus was with me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Listen, we're going to say bye-bye to Facebook and YouTube. God bless you. But we're going to take care of some family business now. Amen. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Praise God. First of all, I want everyone to come to the altar. Everyone, step out of your seat. Come to the altar. That side and anoint their heads. Anoint their heads. Send your wind right now, God. Hallelujah. Send your fire right now. Send your wind, God. Hallelujah.
Ooh, Jesus.
Lord, send it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel his anointing right now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Lord, as we lift up your people right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray blessings upon their life right now. We pray for healing right now. Lord, we pray for increase in their life, oh God. Lord, we pray for prosperity in their life. And we're not talking about financial prosperity, but they would prosper in the gospel. They would prosper in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Send your fire now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right now, God is saying, open your mouth and start praising Him. Come on, open your mouth and start praising Him. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is bringing something to your mind right now that you need to give to Him. Hallelujah. If it's a loved one that needs to be saved, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it's healing for your body, pray right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Lord, you are the God of all comfort. You're the God of all grace. You're the God of all mercy. You're the God that loves us with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Lord, before the foundation of the world, hallelujah, you knew us already, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we're your remnant people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now, God. Hallelujah. We pray for the families that are here. We pray, Lord, for each and every one of us right now. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Bless Brother Jesse right now. In the name of Jesus. Shatarabosa. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, bless our sister Mary right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, she has transformed physically, but Lord, transform her spiritually. In the name of Jesus. Lord, do an inside job. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, that she would cry out more from you, God. Hallelujah, more from you, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will put a fire in her bosom. Lord, that she would seek you with her whole heart, soul, and mind. She would cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for this wonderful family right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this man of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For this woman of God. Thank you, Lord, for their children. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Bless them mightily, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give them insight. Give them forefront. Give them anointing. Give them praise and glory. Hallelujah. Father, from their hearts and from their lips, they will praise you, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we pray for my brother right now, Lord, that has come this day. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.